You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Then talking with the Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager, Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Good to be on with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the first thing I really want to know, we're less than 30 minutes away from kickoff of Stephenville and Kilgore for the Class 4A Division I state title. How much do you enjoy and hopefully perhaps get to watch all the Texas State Championship games that are at your stadium each year?
Well, I do get to watch many of them. It's according to what the schedule is, but it is such a privilege to have those games. There at the stadium, I just could share with you so many stories of men that walk up to me, family that walk, moms, dads, whose son played at the stadium. I'll never forget what a thrill it was that Stephen played in the old Texas stadium when we were living over in Arkansas, and he came down here and played. And it was, it was our Rose Bowl. Let's get to come down here and play at the old Texas stadium. So I know what it means. I know what it means to the families that are involved. And it's just, it really is neat to be a part of that.
And the atmosphere from the fans. Like, I know fans get excited at NFL games, but it feels like the fandom and pandemonium at these high school games is just next level.
Listen, stadiums have had a role for me in my life. We went to Houston my senior year in college when we played in the Cotton Bowl. Coach Broyles, our team, went to Houston to work out during the week of the Cotton Bowl to get away from all the camaraderie. And I'll never forget, he took us on a field trip out to the Astrodome. And the Astrodome was brand new, never had a game in it, ever, and of any kind, and is going to do baseball in a couple of months, maybe. We walked in that Astrodome, and I'm telling you, it was surreal. It was like being on the moon. And to think that you could actually some way compete in something of that magnitude and that impressive. And I'll never forget, from that time on, I read everything I could about the Astrodome. Well, just to show you what will happen to you when you're 19 years old, 20 years old, roll the clock forward about 30, 40 years later, and I can put five of those Astrodomes inside that stadium we built out there called AT&T.
Right.
So you never know what's going to go in some young guy's mind that's out there playing in a stadium.
Now, in terms of the Cowboys, there's been a lot of buzz, a lot of discussion, maybe some disputing reports. What can you tell us about the status of Deron Bland?
Well, Will, again, the same thing. As you know, anytime there's an issue of availability, availability being measuring how healthy they are, how capable they are of playing in that week's game, we make that decision near the end of the week, or we make it really sometimes as late as game day. That'll be made at that time, but we're looking at it.
Do you get the sense, or can you tell me at all if maybe he needs to get the screw replaced in his foot?
Again, I don't know that I would make that an issue as far as this game is concerned.
Jerry Jones joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Has Deron Bland been compromised all season, or is this something that was brought to your attention recently?
Did you know what? I think I answered a question. You asked me about Bland,
and yes,
I had
Diggs
on my mind. I had Diggs on my mind. And but Bland will not play.
Do you anticipate him being done for the season one way or another?
Well, I think it is the case. I don't want to be doctor again, but my understanding is that it will require him to be out for the rest of the time.
And then I know you just said not to play doctor again, but I go back to my previous question. Do you have any idea if it will require surgery or maybe just replace the screw in his foot?
I think it's likely surgery.
Jerry, you did mention Trayvon Diggs, however. I do want to compare the situations. How frustrating is the juxtaposition between how Deron Bland handled his injury in the offseason versus how Trayvon Diggs handled his outside of the facility?
Well, that's a good question. I wouldn't want to make comparisons here at all, but, you know, it's just so important to us when a player is rehabbing that he do it under our supervision in our place and with our trainers and our rehab people. So we make that a part of any agreements we make with the player, and that's the way that it is, and it works out better for us.
With all the injuries at corner now, how are you going to balance the excitement about some more important reps or going towards Savone Revel and the fact that he's still a rookie, he hasn't played much this year, so maybe you don't want to put too much expectation on him?
No, I think this will give him a good opportunity. It's got to have some impact on the entire secondary not to have Bland out there. So I think you could look logically that everybody could get some more reps.
Now, and speaking of Bland, I know he had some injury issues last year. Now the setback with the same foot again after a rather pedestrian season. Any second guessing or any, regret signing him to that extension?
No, he's been everything you could ask relative to his rehab, relative to his competes, and he's done the best and the best that he's had to work with, as it turns out, with his injury. So he's thumbs up.
Now, you were talking about Diggs, and I know you said we'll see. If Diggs doesn't get activated to play on Sunday, he will be out for the year. Would you anticipate him ever playing for the Cowboys again?
Again, sure. I don't think I've seen whether it's been connected what he's working through on this year's availability. But I think that's a stretch to put that thing that far out. I know that on my basis, on looking at his situation, I don't have that kind of attitude about him.
Jerry, Matt Eberflus yesterday said that he's going to move to the coach's box and make the play calls from there going forward. What do you think are the advantages to a play caller working from the coach's box versus the sideline? Because I know Dan Quinn was very adamant in his time that he wanted to be up there to get the bird's eye view. Do you think this is going to help the defensive play calling in any way?
You know, my experience has been with these coaches on whether sideline or not has been strictly a personal preference. I've never been able to discern the difference in any coach's preference as to how good a job is done with the defense. On the other hand, I can imagine that, you know, that coach's box is a pretty solemn place. It's pretty concentrate, if you will. That sideline is a hectic place. And so that alone, to me, would give you a certain concentration advantage that you don't have on the sideline. And there's no question that we watch a game from the stands or watch a game from a little elevation, we certainly seem to be, and I think we can see the overall picture better. But those coaches are trained to, and it's a part of their makeup to have a feel for what's going on that close to the action. A lot of them like to be in the action. I can see that if you're strategizing in a certain way or looking at concepts or reading, I can see where a broader picture would work good for you. Now, you got a lot of eyes up there in that coach's box. So they're giving some good input to a coach when he's on the sideline.
You know, George Pickens, I think we can all agree, has had an incredible season. But you mentioned it, I believe, on Tuesday with our morning show, not quite as many opportunities in the past two games. What can the offense do better to get the ball into the hands of number three? And do you have to be careful not to kind of force it because that could trip up your offense?
The best thing that we can do to help George is have that lamb break loose on him about four or five times if he's being the least covered of the two. And that takes some action off of George.
You know, Shoddy has been talking about Javonte Williams. He said, man, I hope he's a Cowboy for a long time. Javonte himself said, I feel like it's special here. What have you thought about Javonte's play thus far this season?
Well, I have the exact same feelings that the two of them expressed. He's had an outstanding season. From the get-go, he's been as solid as you could ever say the word. And he's been, if you will, dynamic. And his all-around play certainly has been a beneficial to us, the things that we've done really good. And again, he's been consistent. But I love the way that he brings the wood, so to speak, when he runs. And so, but looking forward, hopefully, to him being a Cowboy for time to come.
Do you, I totally understand what you just said. Is it ever tough to try to stay away from a free agent running back kind of bidding war? Or is that a player by player, year by year, case by case, the way you handle it?
Oh, I think and it's easy to say, but it's so true. Every individual, every player, every year has its nuances. And so that goes without saying. On the other hand, it should be that way. The player's not a number. They're a player. They're a person, and they're an individual, unique player. And he's established that, and that's important. The big thing is that I'm glad that we get to talk about it to our fans. that some of the reasons we make some decisions we make is so that we can have the availability in that thing called the salary cap, which is as real as if you were out of scholarships if you were in college. And that's the reason we've made some of the decisions this year we've made, so that we can have the money available at running back.
Does that make your job harder, knowing that these are real people and not just numbers, as opposed to just being cold, ruthless, calculating and being like, nope, got to get rid of this money, got to get rid of this money?
Well, that's a softball. Thank you for asking it. But I'm known for I'm known for getting involved and affectionate with my players, and I have such respect for them. I begin with knowing how fortunate they are to be in a position to play this game. I tell them, boy, they've come along at the right time. 40, 50 years ago, football players weren't highly as thought of. It may not be that way 20, 30 years from now, but they've hit the red meat. And so I have a lot of appreciation for their opportunity. On the other hand, I have such appreciation for what they do to be an NFL football player, and especially an accomplished one. And so it's a mixed bag, but make no mistake about it, it's an individual bag. And yes, for 35, going on 36 years, I've had similar type feelings about players that I had with teammates when I was in college.
Jerry, around this time last year, I asked you about Tyler Guyton's performance, and you said that you may have gotten a little out in front of your skis with your expectations for him in his rookie year. Fast forward to this year, you drafted another offensive lineman in Tyler Booker. How do you feel about your expectations versus the performance that he's given you this season?
He's exceeded my expectations. He's outstanding in the areas that we hoped he would be in. He's a born leader. He's very, very conscientious as in to impose his will. The game to him is imposing his skills and his will on the opposing lineman. And, man, that's quite an attitude to have for an offensive lineman. So he's had a great year for a rookie.
You know, how do you think we've talked a lot about Shoddy, the coach, Shoddy, the man. How do you think Shoddy's first year thus far has compared as a head coach to guys like Garrett, McCarthy, or anybody else you want to compare him to?
Well, I've, of course, had the opportunity to be around at least three now first-time coaches. First head coaches, Jimmy, then, of course, Dave Campo. Really, in the pros, I've been around, I'm going to have to be quick here, but I think it's five or six. He ranks right there with all of them, as ranks really has had an outstanding year. And it doesn't surprise me because of all of the wealth of experience that he had on coaching staffs in pro football, in the NFL. And it doesn't surprise me because of his youthfulness, his vim and vigor for never having done the head coaching function before. And he's been relentless. He's used his skills, that his premium skills, which is his ability to communicate, his ability to relate, both with his staff and his players. And he's outstanding. He's technically as sound as you can draw up. And we like his really his philosophy of how to play football. And we've had some adversity this year. He's met them head on. He's had slip-ups that every coach would have and does have, no matter how long you've been coaching. And he meets those head on and comes back and doesn't make those same mistakes again. Or if he makes them, it was a mistake. So bottom line is I'm very pleased with his first year as coach.
You talked a lot about the positives that come along with having a first-year NFL coach. Are there any particularly unique challenges or potential difficulties that also come along with having a first-time NFL head coach?
Oh, I think so, and particularly for him. he needed to draw on everything he had with his experience around the NFL. Frankly, and I've said it till you're probably tired of hearing it, he grew up around it. But let me tell you one thing, he's the busiest guy in town. Not only is he calling the plays, but he's supervising or keenly involved. You can't call him unless you're involved in that. But at the same time, he's had the kind of challenges that you can't draw up relative to the team, relative to individual issues on the team, relative to some of the setbacks that we've had, the adversities that come with being disappointed and how you're playing on the field. He's had it all. And if you drew up a training ground, a smorgasbord for a first year, you'd have it with what he's dealt with. We're certainly disappointed with where we were, and that was asking a lot for us to feel like we should be significantly further along. But I understand why we feel that way. He feels that way. But, boy, he's made progress, and we've got a great future ahead.
Jerry, you've talked before about how you've almost gotten involved with the Chargers years ago. Are games against them a little bit more special, or are they just the next team on the schedule?
They are. I have to pinch myself. It actually was the very first game ever. It was a preseason game that I played after buying the Dallas Cowboys. We played a preseason game with them out there. And no, I will always hold a special spot because they are what you can call it, a pipe dream. You can call it acting on your dreams any way you want to have it. I just really took off and made a genuine run at being involved with the Chargers from an ownership standpoint when I didn't have any money. But frankly, I didn't do it because I couldn't get it done. I did it because other reasons. And when I didn't, later when I'm involved with the Cowboys, I'm glad I didn't.
If Philly were to win on Saturday and officially end the playoff hopes, would you anticipate any sort of personnel changes for the Cowboys heading into the Chargers game?
I wouldn't anticipate. I've got it well in hand as far as where we are with our entire team. And I should do that, and I do that. And so I'm real up to date. We'll see how we play each quarter as we move forward. And I'm not trying to be trite. But certainly I'm aware, as we all are, areas that we'd like to have played better in. Now then, how much do you apply the reason we didn't perform to the player, to the coach, to the owner, to the general manager? How much do you apply to that? Well, I give old Steven most of the credit for all the bad moves. And so he's always at the top of the S list.
Well, and I know we're having some fun with that, absolutely, but how much, as you are the man, you are the owner, you are the GM, how much the blame do you take for this season's failures?
Oh, listen, there's no question, and it's no manning up or anything to know. I know exactly who ultimately is responsible in my mind for how we are doing. And I've always had that because I've always had the responsibility. I've known from the get-go that if when I got involved, that if the Cowboys failed, what if they had to be taken over financially? Believe it or not, possibility. I've always known that stops right there. So it's critical to me to have the support of our fans. It's critical to me to be everything we can possibly can be on the football field. I got involved not to own and have an investment. I got involved to spend my life trying to figure out how to beat a pretty competitive bunch called the rest of the NFL. And So I take it real serious, and more importantly, there is accountability in a very, very big way. And I've got to live with when we're out of money and we want to sign a player and we don't have any money left and under the cap, I have to live with that. And so I'm judicious with it when I'm deciding whether to spend it on another player or not.
You know, you just said it's important to have the support of the fans, and this is your opportunity to talk to the fans. Do you feel like Jerry Jones still has the support of the Dallas Cowboys fans?
Well, that's why I'm on this show, guys.
Okay.
Is because I do want to go directly to the fans. That's how come I appreciate the job you guys do. And I'm not stroking it. I'm just saying it is one of the great things about sport that the sportscasters, the all of the people of, if you will, journalism, tell the story. And they tell it unbiasedly if everything's going right. And I appreciate that. I've always tried to say that. And I understand when you have the criticisms that you have. But I came into this thing pretty beat up. And I say that because I've had a great laugh getting beat up. And so it was no surprise to me when I right off the bat that we had some of the rough sledding we had in the early years with the Cowboys. I get it. I do get it. And I want to work. It's critical. Nobody, it doesn't do any good. There's been probably more general managers turnover. Probably, that may be a little exaggeration, but not much. There's probably been more general managers turnover in the NFL than coaches. And so there you go. You got another level to start with. And when you got a new general manager, he's always thinking about, well, how about let's get a new coach or let's get a new quarterback or let's get a new tackle. And so anytime you can create continuity, and of course that's what we're dealing with on our defense right now too, anytime that you start mitigating continuity, you're going to pay a price. That's not good when you're turning it over.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So speaking of the good week of practice, has Trayvon Diggs done everything that you needed him to do to meet the standard to be playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I think he's certainly trending in the right direction. I mean, looks like that could very well be the case. And I know he wants to get out there and compete. He's a competitor, and certainly trending that way. But we'll play that up to a game time and see where we go.
Steven, I know that you guys, you try and stand in the way of what your coaches and coaches' decisions are and stuff. Can you comment about Matt moving to the coach's box and why at this point, and if you kind of thought it was something that maybe could have helped the team, why not was that done earlier?
Yeah, I think Matt historically has been comfortable on the sideline. I think as we've evolved over the course of the season, we're looking for ways to improve. And, we thought we had made some good steps there, but the last couple games, hadn't been as good. And, we're just looking for long-term solutions. And certainly want to look at options. And Coach Schottenheimer is the one who came up with the idea and sat with Coach Eberflus, and they came to the conclusion it'd be a good idea.
Troy Aikman made some comments earlier today about the front office involvement with the coaching staff, and he just feels that should all be head coach decisions. So does Shotty get the final say when it comes to making changes or anything with the staff, or is that something maybe you and Jerry also are involved in?
No, I mean, I would say 99% of the time we go with what Coach Schottenheimer and his staff want to go with. I mean, anytime you have ownership in anything, you obviously, if you're keeping up with anything in a responsible way, then you certainly want to know what's going on. But at the same time, you're also supportive of the people you put in place to make those decisions.
If Coach wanted to make a change then on the staff, he would just run it by you guys, and then you would do the best you can to help him see that through, right?
Yeah, guys, we're not going to get into theoreticals. We're worried about the upcoming game. We play the Chargers, and we'll continue to work hard, and not only to beat the Chargers, but obviously to continue to take the next steps to make this a better football team as we go forward in the future.
What's the most important thing to win, or most important matchup to get the best of the Chargers on Sunday?
Yeah, I think, these guys like to possess the ball. They win their time of possession most of the time. Obviously, they're, a solid football team, only lost 4 games this year. But I think, they certainly are going to count on the run. We have improved on the run since we brought Q in here, Quinnen Williams, and, feel like that's going to be real important as first and second down, and, try to get, work to get them behind the chains. That's when they have their most success. Is when they have success on first and second down. And, that's important. But, that's a typical Coach Harbaugh football team, is to possess the ball. And then, the same holds true, on playing their defense. You don't want to get behind the chains, because they do get after the passer. And, we need to have success and, get back to our explosives on the offensive side of the ball.
It was certainly gutting to hear the Deron Bland news, getting to have interviewed him several times. You guys know him well, worked super hard. Any context you can add to us on how long or any time frame this could lead into for 2026?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine for 2026. I think it should be something where he's ready to go, has a real chance to be ready to go for the mini camps and all of that. Our guys will do a good job getting him ready, but I don't see any lingering thing other than pushing him into, having a thorough off season with his rehab, and hopefully be ready to go for all of our mini camps and things of that nature.
You extended Hunter Lipke back in September. He looked awesome in place for Javonte Williams until the concussion. How do you view his role moving forward? Would you like to see a little more Lipke involved?
Yeah, he's at the end of the day, he's just an all around solid player. I think our guys Will and our guys in scouting said it best. Whether it's a offensive rep at fullback, at H back, at if you need him to run the football, special teams, he's going to win his rep. And he's just a really good football player and a great guy to have on our football team.
Steven, when you meet with the coaches, what have they talked to you about, you and Jerry, about how to get Pickens more involved? The last couple of weeks, it looks like the teams have done their best to try and limit the number of opportunities he has.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to keep your best players involved. Obviously, it's opened up opportunities for CD the last couple of games. But at the same time, you want to keep everybody involved, your weapons. And certainly, I think, George has had a great week of practice and look forward to getting him even more touches as we move forward. But, those are the things that come with that in terms of, if they put too much emphasis on one guy, it certainly opens it up, for other players. And it's great to have guys like George Pickens and CD and Javonte and Ferguson. Great to have those weapons there. I know Dak certainly is great at knowing, what they're giving him and where to get the ball.
Did seeing the injuries in the NFL last week affect your opinion at all on sitting guys out if you do become mathematically eliminated?
No, our guys are in this to win football games. We want to get momentum as we head toward the end of the season. Certainly, injuries are a part of it. There were, obviously some injuries to some high-profile players. You always hate to see that, whether it's high-profile or any player. You don't want to see injuries, but obviously it's the NFL, it's a contact sport and a physical game. And, unfortunately injury comes with it. But at the same time, I do know this, you go out and watch our practice, starts at the top with the quarterback. They want to go out and they want to win football games. And certainly that's our goal, as we get prepared to play the Chargers.
As far as areas that you want to see improvement on in these last three games, I imagine, is edge pressure at the top of that? Or what would you say? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've heard it said by a whole lot of good football people, every quarterback's kryptonite's pressure. And we certainly could use more of it since we've gotten Quinnum with the Cowboys, since he's joined the Cowboys. I think he actually leads the league in pressures from the defensive tackle spot. But obviously we're not getting enough pressures because we're giving up explosive plays and we're not getting the ball. So we can always improve upon that. And, just as a whole on the defensive side of the ball. And then, certainly last week we didn't do a good job of getting touchdowns. We moved the ball and settled for field goals and didn't move it when we needed it the most. But, this whole team needs to continue to improve. And we like a lot of the pieces we have in place, but also know we have to get better as a football team.
Love it, Steven. Have a great weekend and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Take care, guys.
Salute. There he goes, Steven Jones, every Friday, usually 3 o'clock.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I can't believe it's a full crew today with this close to the holidays. I'm shocked you three all made it today.
You know what? Wow. I'm so glad you stepped right into that trap.
Yeah.
As you just told our producer, Peyton, that you're out and not doing the interview next Friday. So I just want
right.
I want to counter with that. That's my counterpunch.
National holiday.
Shut up,
RJ. I always show up. Hey, I always show up, baby. Don't worry about that. I'll always show up, guys.
You're literally not going to be here next Friday.
Hey, we'll see. You know, hey, I'm a busy man.
Coach, Todd Archer came out with the news yesterday that Deron Bland faces another surgery on his left foot. When did this – was it an injury that happened, and if so, when?
No, it wasn't an injury. First of all, you know, Deron's such a great player. At the end of the day, it's just these things happen sometimes when you go and you get your foot fixed and things like that. These things happen, and it's just something where it kind of, you know, over time it wore down. And it's unfortunate for Deron, but he's such a great competitor. And, you know, again, he and I have had multiple conversations since we found out. And he understands the journey that he's got to go upon again, but he's going to do a great job and come back better than before.
How long did it kind of linger for him this year? Because it seemed like a season that was not up to his standard.
Yeah, again, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't a season of anybody's standard right now as we sit here with three to go. But, again, you know, I think, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, it comes and goes. And then at the end of the day, when you go and you look at it, you see that, hey, there's something that we need to go in and fix surgically. And, again, that starts the process of, you know, a long rehab, but he'll do a great job with it.
Is there concern for his availability to start off training camp and next season?
No, we think everything should go great.
Brian Schottenheimer right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, does this affect Trayvon Diggs' status maybe being bumped up since you guys are down a man?
Well, again, I'll say this. You know, my thing and stance with Trayvon's never changed, and he's having a good first couple of days, and we'll get out there today and see how today goes. But, again, we all want Trayvon to get out there and play, and he's got to keep doing his part. And, again, I think, like I said, he's doing a great job this week, and I hope and believe that that will continue today.
Yeah, Shadi, so you've said recently, you know, you had these standards or these boxes that you kind of wanted to see him check before you guys felt like he could get out there. So when you say he's had a good first 2 days this week, does that mean that he's checked those boxes for you in these first 2 days of practice?
Yeah, what I'm saying is he's met the standard these first 2 days, and that's exciting. And it looks like he's having a lot of fun out there playing football, which is what I love. I love guys that when they're competing every day to be the best versions of themselves, they're doing it with a smile because – we're also blessed to be able to coach and play this game.
Brian Schottenheimer here on The Fan. Big news yesterday was, at least for us, Matt Eberflus moving upstairs to coordinate these final three games. Why the change?
Well, again, at the end of the day, you know, we all understand that, hey, we need to play better on defense. That's not a secret. Nobody's shied away from that. Certainly Flus hasn't shied away from that. I think as we look for options and ideas, it was something that Matt and I talked about. And at the end of the day, I've called plays for a long time in this league, and there's no question, only 1 year was up in the box. There's no question you can see things better up in the box. You can make quicker adjustments up in the box. And I think when Matt and I kind of talked through this stuff, it became very clear that that's where we want to put them so that we can make some adjustments faster. And I think it's going to be a great thing for us.
Is this a move you wish you maybe made a little bit sooner, earlier in the season?
No, it's a fair question, but no. I mean, again, you got to remember, we make the trade for Quinnen. We actually start playing, really good defense, and we rip off three games in a row. You're certainly not going to do it after one game. You lose to Detroit. But just looking at everything from a holistic approach with, just kind of the consistency or the inconsistency of the way we've played on defense, it was something that I felt was the best thing for us.
Brian Schottenheimer with us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, what changed for you guys the last 2 weeks that some of the problems you guys had generating pressure earlier in the season, that those seem to have returned after what was a pretty good stretch of getting to the passer?
Yeah, different things. I thought Detroit did a really good job of chipping the edges and things like that. You know, we're certainly at our best when we're in our five down fronts. And then, when you're not getting home, as you guys know, you got to find ways to pressure the quarterback, and that's going to require bringing a fifth guy or a sixth guy in some regards. And I just think the overall consistency of the execution has not been there. But again, that's one of the other things is, when you're sitting up in the box and you can kind of, and you get that 30,000 foot view, Clayton can attest to that, right? Like Clayton's a guy who's, rarely ever been up in the box, but you just see things so much better up there. And again, it's one of those situations where I really feel like, okay, hey, we're not getting pressure, we're not affecting the quarterback. And with Flus's experience and how well he sees the game, I think being up there is going to help him be able to make adjustments quicker.
Coach, I didn't write it down accurately, I don't think. How many times did you say you coordinated upstairs, line?
One time in 2020, I ended up moving up in the box in Seattle. I did that for different reasons, but the point of view, there's no distractions up there. You see much clearer what's going on, whether you're winning the line of scrimmage, whether you're not, whether you're playing man to man well, whether you're getting pressure on the quarterback. For the offensive guy, hey, are we getting movement in the running game? Because you're staring down at it. When you're sitting on the sidelines, you're like, hey, what happened on the right side or the far sideline? Like, I can't see what the hell happened. And up in the box, it's a lot easier to see things. And, again, my big thing is, hey, if we're not getting pressure or if we're not having success, we got to make those adjustments. And I do believe that this will help us do that.
So, Coach, why didn't you do it more than just the one time with all those advantages up top?
It's a great point. the trade-off is, that, again, talking to the quarterback and being able to do that on the sidelines, I think, is important. But I would say this to you guys, that really the magic for me is if you're up, you got to have incredible people down because they have to carry your message. And when you're down, you want to put your great eyes or guys that you can hear to. So there's lots of ways to do it. The other thing I wanted was I wanted a little bit of a safe place from Pete. Pete was so energetic. He was throwing his gum all over the place, and so I'd get hit with gum sometimes. And I was like, I'm not going to get hit with gum up in the press box.
At least he didn't make you pick it up like Spurrier.
Hey, good call. Yeah, I've had to do a lot of picking up of stuff over my career.
Brian Schottenheimer joined us here, 105 Through the Fan. What do you look for in determining whether the issue with a particular unit, doesn't have to be the defense, just any unit in general, whether the problem with the unit is a coaching issue or a personnel issue? What do you look for in that?
Yeah, well, number one, I don't think it's ever just one, right? I think it's a little bit of everything. I think at the end of the day, what you do is you go back and you keep eyes on it. And we've got tabs. We go back after every game and we write down our after action reports, the things we did well, the things that we need to improve, and then a plan of how we're going to improve them. And again, I think there's some weeks where, if you're beat up, it is personnel. When you're beat up and maybe you're missing four offensive linemen in one game and you're like, man, we didn't run the ball well, or we didn't protect very well, or whatever. And then otherwise it's like, man, we didn't have a great plan, or, hey, we didn't adjust very quickly. So rarely is it ever one thing, guys. It's usually a combination of both. And that's why it's so important to have the the connection right between your coaches and your players. And when we make adjustments as coaches, the players have to believe. And then, you know, quite honestly, we do ask the players their opinions. Like, hey, what are you thinking? What are you seeing? And again, that's why it's a very comprehensive approach.
Coach, you've preached competition all year, and with the playoffs seemingly like a long shot at this point, are these next few games going to be a good gauge for you to determine who that compete message has landed with?
Yeah, again, and I don't really worry about that, guys. I think this unit, this group of young men, I mean, they've given us everything we've ever asked for. And again, if you truly do believe in the compete every day mantra, then it should show. And again, we've had a really good week of practice. We're playing a really good football team. I mean, the Chargers are a very, very good football team. You can, you know, look at not just their record, but the way that they, you know, the quarterback and the way the defense is playing from a statistical standpoint, the way they're getting pressure on the quarterback. But at the end of the day, we're focused on us, and we want to win. And it's every game we play. You don't win every game you play, but again, the main focus right now is going out and playing well and finding a way to beat the Chargers on Sunday at home in front of our fans.
Coach, in the event that the games do become, I don't want to say meaningless, but the team is eliminated from playoff contention, where do you draw the line on competing and culture versus a draft pick and injury prevention and getting to look at guys that didn't get a ton of playing time?
Yeah, the starting point for us is always to compete to win. I mean, that's just the way it always is. And again, I think at the end of the day, when you look at this, you can do that a lot of different ways. And at the end of the day, as we work and we practice, there's certainly guys you're like, hey, you know, does this guy earn the right to play? Well, yeah, if the guy earns the right to play, then yeah, maybe you want to take a look at that guy. But I can promise you this, the main focus that we always look at is, hey, what gives us the best chance to win? And why? Because at the end of the day, we're all being evaluated as a football team, as a coaching staff, as a group of players, as an organization on whether we win or we lose.
Coach, we all try to do this off-season topic of like momentum and things that you can establish into the off-season that can carry over for next year. Can you recall any specific instances in your time where pulling guys and quote-unquote organically tanking negatively, positively affected, playing all the guys when you're eliminated, positively affected heading into the offseason? Because, I mean, we want you to pull everyone, get the draft pick, and make sure Dak's good for next year. You're not going to do that, it sounds like. Can you recall instances where it has really helped or hurt?
Yeah, I think it's different. I mean, like, I look at it this way, you know. We come in and we work, you know, Monday, Tuesday, players are off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and of course next week.
You're off.
I'm off Friday, but yeah, we're going to grind getting ready for Thursday because Christmas Eve will be up in Washington, or Christmas Day, I guess. But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, again, there's different ways to look at it. And when we're in year one of this program, and what we're trying to build is a culture that's all about winning. And to me, yeah, you could say, hey, let's not play anybody or let's do this or that. And again, will we play some guys that earn the right to play that maybe haven't played a lot? Yeah, potentially, if they've earned the right to play. But at the end of the day, I think you keep it very simple. And, hey, we're going to compete every day. We want to win. And, again, I know I understand why you guys say what you want to say, but you can't be all about winning. You can't be all about competing every day and then be like, okay, hey, I'm going to take next Friday off, or hey, I'm going to do this, or hey, I'm not going to play this guy or that guy. At the end of the day, I think, you know, that's the wrong message to your players.
Coach, what kind of an adjustment is it to pivot from one defense like Minnesota, which likes to disguise a lot and show you a bunch of different looks and then bail out of them at the, you know, snap of the ball, versus a team like the Chargers who are a little more straightforward and about executing at a high level?
Well, basically, this is my favorite part of the segment when you and I get a chance to talk ball.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah, of course.
Because you're the only guy that understands the difference between like 7-up and all this stuff, and then the cover four that we're going to see this week with Derwin James playing the Buffalo nickel.
Yep.
I mean, you're the only one. I mean, really, this is our show.
Ballmowers. Ballmowers, the two of us.
You should have taken off today, too.
Yeah.
but no, it's a great question because I'll tell you what, man, Jesse Minter's done an incredible job with his defense. Again, you just watch the way these guys play. But yeah, very different. They don't do a whole lot on first, second down. They're driven by quarters. They play spot drop zone, which means when they drop, they're dropping to a location on the field and all eyes are on the quarterback. And that generally works the best, guys, when you've got an elite pass rush, and they've got an elite pass rush. with Thule and Khalil Mack, and they got the guy from Baltimore. I mean, they've got dudes up front, and so very, very different. And again, it puts more of an onus on our execution because Minnesota, you know, they took chances and we hurt them some. You know, I mean, ended up, you know, coming away with, you know, whatever, 26 points. But this defense is very, very they're patient. And they make you work for everything you get.
Is Harbaugh the most old school style left in the league?
Yeah, I got to say, I love the fact he still wears gloves during pregame warmup. I love the fact that he still catches balls and things like that. But again, they are a physical football team. He's built that. You watch these guys play offense, man, and it's all, you know, two tight ends. They've got the 280-pound fullback, Matt Locke, you know, and of course the quarterback is just an absolute stud. He's, you know, people don't realize how well he moves. I think he's rushed for over 500 yards this year. But, you know, Jim has always had a certain style about him. I go back to when he was playing. He came into Arrowhead my year coaching, I think, in Kansas City and beat us as a player. And he's just always been the same person. And, again, you guys know me. I'm all about authenticity. And the one thing you can say about Jim, he's always authentic. He is who he is, and his teams model his personality.
Thank you so much, Coach. Most of it was enjoyable as usual, and enjoy the break next week.
Hey, guys, Merry Christmas. I really do appreciate you guys, for real. You guys make my Fridays enjoyable, really, for real.
Back at you, Coach. We appreciate you. Brian Schottenheimer, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys.
We're going to do our own show next week. It's just going to be me and Bob.
You know, human beings learn best and most from other human beings.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Thank you, Shoddy, and Mr. Rogers and Michael Corleone for the intro. Great breakfast with Shoddy last week. Just talking ball, shout getting out. You guys set up. What? It was just out. A nice experience.
I wouldn't align yourself with him if something happens to Dak with this little try-hard stuff the last 3 weeks.
That's not try-hard stuff. That's, look, I mean, it's a common thing, I think, for a lot of people to think that maybe you just take off the whole month of December. I think we see a lot of that in DFW. But you know what? The Shoddy's different. He's this is no more Mike McCarthy culture. We're out here changing things. And it's going to start this week against the Los Angeles Chargers when I officially lose my bet with Sean, I think.
Yes!
So we'll have to see. Yeah, this is not going to go the way that I want it to.
Reset the bet.
So it was that Dallas would go 6-2 down the stretch, at least, which that was included in there. I thought they'd beat the Vikings. I thought they would lose two of the games between the Lions, Eagles, Chiefs, and Chargers. And now that I've gotten a look at the Chargers, yeah, I think definitely this is going to be a game that you lose. But let's talk about how you could win it. This is a very boring football team.
Yes.
Like, exceedingly boring on both sides of the ball, the way that they do things. So, you know, we hear about the Matt Eberflus, look, bend but don't break. Or like when Garrett used to be here. That's a good example. So Garrett, when he was here, you remember, just used to be, just execute. We're not going to do anything crazy.
That's on us.
Just execute. And then on the other side of the ball, it was the Marinelli, don't blitz, and just, hey, kind of keep things in front of you. Execute. Do your job. Do this. Do that. That is that's what the Chargers do on both sides of the ball. They are all about execution. The thing is that they've got pretty good players who can execute and can do the things that you need them to. So offensively, I think they're really boring the way that they design things. It's just, it is a whole bunch of just...
Is this what Harbaugh wants, though? Like, my number one complaint, if I'm a Charger fan, I would go in to LA radio studios and say, man, if Harbaugh would make this offense, if we had a little bit more explosive offense, we could take the next step. Feels like we're going to win 10 games every year. We may win 11, but I want Jim to go ahead and take off some of the restraints, or is he just doing it because the tackles were hurt? Or does he want to old school Parcells, except for having Bledsoe, win these games 23-16.
Thought he had Bledsoe.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he wants to old school it. That's why he Michigan, look
he's an offensive guy.
Yeah. But look at how he wanted to do things at Michigan. Like, and he definitely, even though he's an offensive guy, he came up in the era of, 90s, like run early 90s, like run the ball and just.
I feel like it's such a stress on you every week versus having a rare game or two where you're like, all right, we're winning by 13. Mm-hmm. We're going to score 30. We're going to score 30. It's a grind. Every week watching them, it's a tough physical grind.
They are comfortably number one in the NFL in average drive time. They take the most time off the clock in the NFL.
Look, we're already in a league where the margins are so slim.
Yeah.
And they even make them slimmer on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is going on there? Maybe is it an indictment on Herbert?
It's just no, it's not an indictment on Herbert, who's still like that's the new litmus test for the ball knowers is going to be Herbert. Because Herbert, like, if you watch the tape, you see Herbert's really, really good. Like, Herbert is really good. He's in an offense that does what it does and wants to execute the way that it does. But if you talk about decision-making and the way that he throws the ball, some of the stuff that he can, you know, thread the needle through, he's easily one of the five most talented players in the NFL.
No one has ever disputed that.
I think a lot of people have disputed if he's a top five talent in the NFL. Not quarterback. I mean, in the NFL at any position.
Everyone says he's super talent. The mold of what you want a quarterback to be. Their point differential is plus 31. The Chiefs are four losses behind them, and they have a plus 60 point differential. There's a 30-point gap between the Chargers at 10-4 and the Chiefs at 6-8.
Nick Saban thinks they should be in the playoffs above the Chargers.
What's the difference between Herbert and Lawrence?
Other than what? Like, what do you want me to say? Like, if you literally watch the two players, they are nowhere close. Look at their QBR in general over their career. They're completely different players.
Trevor's actually gone to the playoffs more. Right.
Okay, but since when have you ever been a team results guy over like what the quarterback actually is?
I think the quarterback has to.
Do you think Trevor Lawrence is as good as Justin Herbert? Dead serious. Because if you're going to say that, then
I think we're talking their talent. Their raw talent is what everybody thought. I don't think it is
nowhere close on raw talent. Well, nowhere close on execution. I mean, they're not the same football
Trevor
player
Lawrence
at all.
Was like the generational Andrew Luck, John Elway. All I'm saying is
people can say that like, they are not the same player.
I would just like for one time, people to give Justin Herbert the same grief that they give Trevor Lawrence. Because I'm super
impressed.
That's
a ridiculous standard because they're not the same player.
I'm starting to give Herbert grief.
You are.
You can give Herbert grief, and that's fine. Like, just like there's the question of, does Josh Allen get the most out of what he does? Does Josh Allen come through in big moments? Is there this or that? Like, you can, like, look at it that way. But if you're just talking about his own individual thing and what he does and how he executes, to put him in the same breath as Trevor Lawrence is insane.
I'm not saying that. I can't stand Trevor Lawrence.
The numbers are basically the same this year.
I can't stand Trevor Lawrence. I don't want Jacksonville to succeed, but I'm done with the Justin Herbert passes. If you have someone that is this great and glowing, then I don't restrain him. I don't think Harbaugh's that stupid to go ahead and restrain him. And Justin Herbert, you know, Kevin Hagelin, this will be a good fight. Bobby, don't let the Nick Saban thing
ruin your day.
It doesn't. The Herbert thing,
I'm not comparing him to Lawrence.
This has been his worst season. This is by far the worst he's played. This season is.
Yeah.
But that's
the number one thing I'll give him props for. Man, he is a tough SOB.
He's tough.
He is taking beatings going out there with the surgery on the left hand. He's super tough. And he makes throws that I'm way more impressed by than Trevor. That's my difference.
Look, my issue with him is like it's like in the Moneyball.
You could argue
movie.
Trevor has had better weapons. Is that crazy to say? I don't think any of them are going to blow you away, but I feel like, you know, I can't think of who do we have? TCU wideouts dropping balls.
Hey, Quinton's played better,
better. He's playing a little better this year. Anyway, it's the film room study in a commercial-free expressway. We have a concert ticket giveaway coming up.
Yeah, and by the way, essentially the only guys the only guys since 2020 who have a 60 QBR or above every season coming into this year. It's Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen. Those are the three. So they're not even in the same ballpark, especially when Lawrence, I don't think, has ever had a 60 QBR in his life, much less five in a row. I don't think he has. All right, so the Los Angeles Chargers, they're incredibly boring. They want to out-execute everybody. They think they're just better on skill. Their offensive line has not been good enough. That's been a problem for them this year. They give up a ton of pressure. They do not open enough holes in the running game. Their running game has not been as efficient as I'm sure Jim Harbaugh would want it, but Jim Harbaugh wants to muck it up. Like, that's what he wanted to do at Michigan. There were times it felt like that's what he wanted to do when he was with the 49ers, was just, hey, let's out-execute everybody. Greg Roman is their offensive coordinator now and play caller. Roman obviously has been thought of as a little too old school for the last several years, and some of the stuff that he did previously with Lamar Jackson.
Harbaugh would go and hire Arthur Smith.
You should. Harbaugh would go and hire like Maurice Carthon to run his offense or something. Like he would go so old school. He does want to. You gotta remember, he completely took the ball out of J.J. McCarthy's hands at Michigan. He didn't want him ever throwing. He's never wanted to really push the ball downfield with any of the quarterbacks that he's had. Kaepernick, when he came on the scene and kind of burst onto it, a lot of people felt like he had always had kind of like restrictions on the way that he would throw the football. And
he had
so,
luck at Stanford, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, even still, it's one of those things where he so clearly just comes from an era that believes in grit and believes in intangibles over analytics. And
he wins.
That's what he does. Yeah, and he still wins. He's great. I would have taken him here. I love him.
Yeah.
But it is one of those instances of a guy who just believes in secrets in the dirt kind of thing. Like he is, yeah. He is that type of a coach. But offensively, this has been a better year for Quentin Johnston than it has another year. I'm concerned about the way their receivers play. So the receivers are good. Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey. McConkey could be a real problem for them today or this weekend. Aronde Gadsden II, son of former Dolphins and former Cowboys receiver. A lot of people don't know he was with the Cowboys in training camp.
On my fantasy team.
The son of Aronde Gadsden. He has been a good player for them at tight end this year. So they've got guys who can execute in the receiving game. Like I said, Herbert has made worse decisions this year and had problems this year more than any other. A lot of it feels like it's related to the pass rush. A lot of that stuff that they've had to weather, he has been hit a ton. He's already up to almost 50 sacks this season. It's by far the most he's ever been sacked in his career. The pressure rate has been absurd. All of their offensive linemen struggle, all of them, to actually block things up. So we've heard that the last 2 weeks. It'd be nice if they could block things up this week for the Cowboys, or if they could get some pressure this week for the Cowboys. But having not seen it the last 2 weeks, whenever the vulnerability was there, I don't know with certainty that they are going to execute. But keep you should be able to.
Keep in mind, Deron Bland is out Sunday and the rest of the season with the surgery again to the same foot. Quinnen Williams was upgraded to limited yesterday with the concussion, but no Bland. Brian Schottenheimer coming up at 8:20 to answer if that means that Trayvon Diggs gets pushed up the depth chart onto the field.
Defensively, Brian Schottenheimer had talked about...
And Eberflus upstairs.
Brian Schottenheimer talked about how defensively the Chargers are... Basically, he was trying to say it in a way that didn't sound demeaning, because it wasn't. He was saying it in a good way, but he said they're really not that complicated. Or they don't really do anything, and it's because they play things pretty straight up. They blitz the least in the NFL. They essentially just play cover four a big chunk of the time. They're in zone a lot, one of the higher zone rates in the NFL. They just kind of stand up, keep things in front of them. And again, they're worried about execution. Derwin James is a big part of what they do in terms of how they move him around, how they want to place him. And he has been as good this year as he's been in any other year. I think he's been really, really fantastic, what you see on tape. Just really strong across the board. That to me is, we probably don't talk enough about how good Derwin James has been. Like, he's been so damn consistent since he got into the NFL.
My favorite player ever, Sean Taylor.
There's some of those aspects to him. He's better in coverage.
I was wondering if he has been the closest thing to Sean Taylor since.
Similar. That's a similar kind of player. He, like I said, Sean Taylor had his issues in coverage at times, but he was, that was some of
he
the play
still
style.
Go get it.
Yeah, some of the play style, the physicality. Derwin James is very similar. The play recognition. I remember there was a play on tape at Florida State where Derwin James was on the opposite hash, saw the quarterback scrambling. They were scrambling from like the 10-yard line trying to get in the end zone. They were going the opposite way, and Derwin James had cut all the way across the field and got to the goal line in time to stop him. And so he sees stuff. He reacts the right way. He's got great instincts. He is the most dangerous, versatile player that they have on defense. Now, they get, even though they don't really blitz very often, it's about a 20% rate, they will get to the quarterback. They've got one of the higher sack rates in the NFL. They've had a lot of success getting there with Odafe Oweh, the trade they had made with Baltimore, which we had talked about previously, like that would have been a guy that would have been of interest to the Cowboys, I would think, or would have been helpful to the Cowboys if they knew he was available.
Derwin, by the way, officially ended the Chiefs season with that interception at the end against Kelsey.
Tuli Tuipulotu, who is the former USC edge rusher, he's broken out this season. We all really liked him coming out of the draft a couple years ago when we talked about draft show stuff. Just really high motor player and physical, and he's picked up 12 sacks for them this season. He has been their best pass rusher. They've still got, you know, Khalil Mack, who can rush the passer and can turn back the clock a little bit, but it is a team that is able to get home with four. They don't need to blitz. They can kind of play things back. They've had disciplined guys in the secondary like Dante Jackson, Derwin James, the different things that they've done there. I think the second level is probably where they're at their most vulnerable. Their linebackers haven't always been consistent this year. They've had some issues tackling in space. So this may be a game where Dallas tries to attack the intermediate area. Maybe they try to run the ball on them a little bit. I think you can run the ball on the Chargers. As good as their defense is, that's probably where the vulnerability exists, is just try to take advantage of the run game. Similar to last week, how the Vikings don't get the ball run on them a ton, or like the raw yardage wasn't one of the worst in the NFL. But efficiency-wise, you could find gaps where you could attack them. Similar sort of thing here with the Chargers. I think if you can get to the edges and kind of get some plays in space, that would help. Now, obviously, Javonte Williams is generally more of a physical between-the-tackles sort of guy, but if you can run things a little more off-tackle, if you could hopefully get Tyler Guyton back this week, which seems murky at best.
Still the concussion?
No, it's the ankle.
Oh, the ankle.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced the first 2 days. If you could get him back, that'd be great. Otherwise, I'm trying to run off the right side and see if Terrence Steele can block things up for me. But they would have to, they're going to have to run the ball really effectively, I think, early in this game to be able to kind of push the ball a little bit. But even still, with the passing game, I think it's going to be a lot of short of the sticks and a lot of intermediate area. I don't think they're going to be able to take a lot of deep shots in this game because it's a lot of cover four. The last team you played that played a ton of cover four was the Cardinals. And the Cardinals kind of kept everything in front of you and wouldn't let you push the ball downfield. Same sort of thing. You're not going to beat them deep, and they're going to be able to rush the passer with four. The only place you can live really is in those intermediate areas.
It's such a shame to have those uniforms. It'd be so boring.
I know. The Powder Blue is number one seed.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about the other ones, too?
Well, the Powder Blues are the ones. They don't wear those enough.
No.
They've gone back.
It's like the McRib.
It's like they have decided that they wanted to take the demon love child of the baby blues, but the white helmets, and then their Stan Humphreys or whatever it is, 95 unis, and that's just not a good match. I mean, you got to go baby blue.
Man, breaking news everywhere here on Sean and RJ. Thanks for being a Tolo. You're going to get it first. For turning it on, leaving it on, you're also going to get another Good Charlotte and Avenge sevenfold ticket giveaway in the 7 o'clock hour. We have Bobby's Film Room preview of the Chargers at 7:20, college football kegger, junk drawer, official Cowboys picks for Sunday at noon on this radio station at 8 a.m. Todd Archer with the news, Bobby, that Deron Bland is facing surgery on his left foot for the second time in as many years.
Yeah, that's not, that's never good. When you start having chronic foot issues as an athlete, that always feels like a bad sign. But look, that might explain some of the games he's had this year where he's been, I think overall the overall way he's played this year has been oversold how poorly he's played in the macro, but he's had some really bad individual games this year, and that may explain some of it if he's just still dealing with some lingering issue with the foot.
Yeah, when did it happen? How long has it been bothering him? We'll ask Brian Schottenheimer at 8:20.
So that was, he injured that foot, and then was that not the same one that he had the issue with early in the season where he missed a game or two?
I don't know. All I know is it's the same one he had freaking surgery on.
I think it's the same one he had the issue with that had him miss a game or two earlier the season where he re-injured it.
Choppy?
I mean, we've seen foot injuries end people's career around here.
Like?
Who are we thinking of?
88. That fifth metatarsal or whatever made up word they want to use for that.
Yeah, I mean, it can be, that injury can be bad for people. I think everything started hitting him. Like, I think he started having issues all at once. I don't know. That was the biggest one, but I don't know if that was just the only thing that ended him.
This is potentially disastrous.
Big time.
With the money that you just gave him. It's good in the short term for Team Tank. I was telling Bobby in the elevator, maybe this gives Mariota, maybe this gives Jackson Dart a shot at the Cowboys secondary to add another loss since they want to be tryhards and put everyone out there for the final three games. Let's see how long that lasts. What?
Tryhards?
Yeah. They're the TJ Watt of NFL teams.
He's going to eat Shoddy Tolos.
He doesn't Tolo.
He's going to confront you about that.
He has no idea what time we're on. I'm looking forward to it with Schottenheimer.
He thinks we're on all day.
I'm going to beg him for your own job status, for your own livelihood. Please reconsider. Play Dak against the Chargers. To Choppy's point, you prepared for it. After the Eagles win Saturday, get your little try-hard game out of the way and then shut it down for the Giants and the Commanders, and maybe they'll have a shot at your secondary with Deron Bland. But, Choppy, this is not good moving forward at all.
Well, no, because now you can't – I don't believe when you have a player who's had injuries to the lower body, multiple, right? Multiple injuries, sometimes to the same body part. Like, your expectation for what you can get from them moving forward has to change, and you have to plan accordingly. Like, you can't just go into next year saying, oh, well, we got Deron Bland. I don't think you could say that. I mean, when you've got injuries and it's the same, if it's the same foot, same injury, like, it's, all right, what are we doing now? We got to prepare for the worst. And I think too often times teams don't prepare for the worst. They prepare for the best.
It's not a good sign for his availability and his level of play, and like it's going to start bringing into question about how long this is going to bug him. In terms of if it does end things for him or makes him less effective into the future, it's not devastating on the cap, because that was a bad deal Deron Bland signed. It was just, it wasn't good.
For Bland.
It was a bad deal. They get done next year, after next year, where they get a year to look at it. If they look at him and he's bad, he gets cut and they save $13 million.
Sure, thank you.
And so, I mean, it's not one that's like they're really locked into. That deal essentially ended up being the one that Paulson Adebo signed with the Giants. It's like 3 years, $16 million a season. And so they would be a year into it. The way it's structured, a lot of the money doesn't hit, or a lot of the guaranteed money hits earlier, and it was in the signing bonus, and so they should be able to walk away from him without a problem with a post June 1 cut.
Does this now force their hand with having to play Diggs? They said they're going to wait till Saturday, which that tells me they're not planning on playing him, because you're trying to drag this out as long as possible. Stephen Jones would go on G-Bag today, and that's their excuse not to have to answer. Well, we're going to make that decision on Saturday again. If he was good to go, you'd just come out and say he's good to go. So you're not planning on playing him. Does this now force their hands to push Diggs out on the field with no Bland?
Well, I mean, if you're going to try to win the game, then it might, but... You know, there's also...
We got to compete.
There's also the possibility that they're just trying to keep him away from an injury guarantee.
No, that's not a possibility. It's a probability.
Right, which would be gone if you threw him out there. Right?
If he got hurt.
Yeah, if he got hurt. But, I mean, we've seen any player can say they're hurt. Oh, I need this, I need that.
Bobby, any impact on Diggs playing because of this?
No, I mean, if they're going to play him, they're going to play him. If they don't want to play him, they'll throw Josh Butler out there is what they'll do. Because Josh Butler just had his window activated. So.
Give me the secondary on Sunday.
My guess is going to be that it would be something along the lines of
he's trying to think
Josh
of names.
Butler and Triquez Bridges and Reddy Stewart and Savone Revel is what it'll be.
Woo! All right, let's go.
Woo! Team Tank, baby.
Move up that pick, baby. We're getting in the top 10. We're going to get in the top 10.
So we'll ask Brian Schottenheimer all these things at 8:20. Meanwhile, you are reorganizing chairs on the Titanic as now they decide, you know what? Let's make an adjustment. Let's do something different. Let's try this out, Floose. As Matt Eberflus is moving upstairs for the rest of the season to call the defensive plays.
We should be anyway.
So that's improvement.
He should be somewhere else.
He should be on the couch, you know, getting a good bird's eye view. But that's the whole point. That's the whole point of coaches being in the booth. is to get a nice view. A bird's eye view. They got phones.
A lot of guys who do it on the sideline.
I know. Be upstairs in the booth. I'm fine with that.
Bobby, what did you think of that? I didn't see this till your email. No one sent me this, and I'm scrambling, and I'm like, whoa, Eberflus is moving off the sideline? Why? Where's the audio of this?
Oh, there is no audio of it.
Why not?
I don't know. The press conference isn't on the internet anywhere.
So,
Matt Eberflus.
Wait, aren't the coordinators usually on the website?
Typically. This is my favorite panic move that defensive coordinators make is the going upstairs to the booth or coming down to the field.
They're already scrubbing Eberflus on the website. They're already doxing him.
This is exactly what they did with Mike Nolan, only the reverse. Nolan was up in the booth the first 5 weeks. It's like, he's going to come down to the field, get more in the thick of things. It's going to fix things. This one feels like, why don't you just go hide out for the last three games? Shoddy can't scream at you on the sideline for screwing up. It'll be on a headset. But, I mean, Shoddy said the headsets sometimes don't work. So, I mean, Eberflus can just take the headset off and hang his head if he's getting yelled at.
Is this also some type of audition for Aaron Whitecotton? Because the defensive line coach is now going to be the main person handling defensive adjustments on the sideline.
Yeah, so he's going to be talking to the huddle. He's going to be the one.
Oh, man.
In all likelihood, swapping out personnel, different things like that, because that has to be somebody on the sideline. So that's the benefit. When you say, like, why wouldn't you be in the booth gives you a better view of what's going on, and you can kind of see things developing. But when you're down on the field, you're the one making the immediate adjustments and swapping out personnel and doing things like that. And you can call out to the defense too from the sideline on certain things.
I actually think it would be worse for him. It'd be worse for them if all of a sudden they pitched three shutouts with him upstairs, because we'd be sitting there saying, why didn't you try something earlier you were eliminated?
Yeah. But, you know, hey, better. It's because Jerry's going to use the whole season. He's just not going to use a couple games. He's going to use the whole season.
Nah.
It does feel a little bit like Matt going up to the booth, like he's going to be able to see everything. It does feel a little bit like, your dog went to go live on a farm. He has lots of room to run and play, and that's where he went. He's just living on a farm now. Your dog didn't pass away. He's over there.
So I guess I got to read this whole quote now, since the Cowboys have hid Eberflus on the website. He was asked what his thoughts were when Jerry came on our show and talked about his future. This is the NFL. Everyone's being evaluated. Part of the job. Do you need a vote of confidence from the front office? Quote, I don't look for a vote of confidence. That to me is like kind of a hypothetical deal. So again, it's about doing your job. It's the NFL. And this is where our feet are. So that was Eberflus saying
now.
Comes with the territory.
That's where his feet are for now. His feet are going to be in McCarthy-esque barn in 2 weeks, probably.
Barn together.
Yeah, that's exactly. They're both going to be prepping for jobs that neither of them are going to get next year. A couple of NFC North slaps right there.
Jerry has pulled this on us a couple of times, though. Like, we're Jason Garrett's gone. Mike McCarthy's gone. This person's gone. And then we get this shocking, surprising news that they actually come back. So I'm not totally ruling it out. I think
sure. You can't rule out anything with Jerry when it comes to these kind of moves.
He likes continuity.
But I will
say, continuity.
This with Jason, it always felt like just vague. Like it felt like it was what he wasn't saying whenever people were going, oh, listen, he didn't come out with a big ringing endorsement and then he'd come back. This felt really targeted this week towards Matt Eberflus. And that's the only thing is that's what made me feel like, all right, he's not coming back. This is Jerry just kind of fed up.
Meanwhile, Quinnen Williams upgraded to limited yesterday with a concussion. CeeDee Lamb missing again because of an illness. So it's pointing towards Quinnen playing.
Organic tanking. That's what it is. It's organic.
Not with Quinnen playing.
If Lamb's sick.
The whole team's got the flu.
We know George isn't showing up on Sunday. And then you got the, I'm just kidding. Wow. It's a joke. Relax.
The picketers.
Relax. But even when Quinnen's been there, they've had trouble rushing the passer the last 2 weeks. We'll see if they can. The last 2 weeks that they played, it's against offensive lines that should give up that pressure that then don't. So the Chargers giving up a bunch of pressure doesn't necessarily matter.
They got pressure early in those games.
Yeah, doing things that Eberflus didn't want
plays.
To. Yeah.
The first five plays, they got pressure.
Dak said he absolutely wants to play in the next three games. Quote, being a professional, this is my job. This is what I love to do.
Blah, blah, blah.
Sitting out last year and the times before, you don't take this game for
granted. Javonte Williams has been limited this week with a stinger, and he said, I had it in my shoulder. The feeling and everything has come back, so I should be good. But we need to start seeing something out of Jaden Blue moving forward. Maybe after this Chargers game, Bobby, you come up with a list of the other guys that we need to see get some more reps. This is Inside the Star on your official home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ, along with our insider Bobby Roberto Belt, college football kegger, to get you set for playoff game number one tonight, the film room study of LA at 7:20, along with one of our final two concert ticket giveaways, Avenged Sevenfold and Good Charlotte. But the Corey Seager, Marcus Semien report has been dropped. We'll take you inside on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.